Hey everyone, welcome to this edition of Stream On with Jim Williams. I'm your host. And, you know, if you listen to this podcast, then you know that I am a fan of live theater. Now, it can be regional theater, it can be community theater, it can be college theater. There's nothing like watching people create something right before your very eyes. And there's no better place to do that than Broadway. Now, not everybody can get there, fortunately. Those of us living in the Washington, D.C. area jump on a train and can be there in 3 hours and be in your seat and take in a Broadway show. And I try to do that as often as I can. But that's not necessarily an easy thing to do for many people outside of the region, and you know, let's be honest, it can be pretty pricey as well. So, to that end, my friends, let me tell you about a new streaming service, well, relatively new streaming service, I should say, called Broadway HD. Now, Broadway HD brings to you some of the top hit plays and Tony winners on Broadway and some outstanding plays from the East End in London, right to your television set through their streaming service. And today, we're going to talk about Broadway HD with two of their founders and two very accomplished Broadway producers, Stuart Lane and Bonnie Comley. And Stu and Bonnie have been outstanding at their trade as producers, and now they've taken on Broadway HD. And guys, I'll tell you, I've watched your product. I'm a fan of your product. And I think that once people get a chance to check out Broadway HD, they're going to be as big a fan as I am. What brought you to the concept of streaming Broadway plays?
Well, you know, I've been involved with live theater producing 40 years now, starting as an actor. And going through the Actors' Equity and SAG and AFTRA and transitioning into producing. And so I've seen the Broadway theater go through many stages, whether it's electronic miking or it's trying to extend theater through television, pay-per-view, DVDs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was Bonnie and I have constantly seen every show over the years, and we were trying to note, we took note that the way people attended and watched their entertainment was changing drastically. With the advent of technology in the last 15 years, we were expanding from TV sets into iPads. Audiences for the theater were getting younger, and there was a whole new audience that was developing that wasn't being, that was attracted to Broadway but not being reached by Broadway. Mm-hmm. And so in order to get an accessible, affordable way out there, we thought this was the ideal time to really start a website that had over 230 shows on it now. We started with 100, and mm-hmm. we're 2 years old, and we have 230 shows. And the idea of how people, it was the audience really changing that made us jump into it. They were getting involved. They were watching their entertainment differently, and Broadway is still, you know, still live theater. You can't mm-hmm. compete with that. Never want to compete with a live Broadway show. But if you can't get to Broadway, you do get to Broadway HD.
So I think at the core of all of it is a passion for the live theater. And Stu and I, as Stu said, we're, you know, constantly producing stage pieces. So it's trying to share that, trying to extend the reach of it and democratize Broadway, which was, you know, considered a once very elite art form that was only available to people in New York City at the 40 Broadway theaters, and saying, how do you extend this show once the curtain comes down for the final time? And I think that, you know, the technology is finally there to bring cameras in. It is invasive when you bring these cameras in with an audience during a live show, but the technology is there to do that without, you know, having gigantic cameras there anymore. The ability is there to live stream these performances, to capture these performances, and the technology is there to be able to stream, so on demand. So what we're doing is we're making for the theater lover that already goes to Broadway, you don't have to wait till 8 o'clock at night. You can binge on Shakespeare for breakfast. You know, you can, you know, expose yourself to new, different forms of theater, devised theater, musicals if you're a play person, plays if you're a strictly musical person. So you have the ability, for the cost of less than the traditional one Broadway ticket, you have access to a catalog of over 200. And we're constantly layering in new pieces of content as we go. And it's just, the Broadway community is gathering around this. Stu and I launched BroadwayHD.com, the website, just over 2 years ago, and the conversations that we were having with our colleagues at the Broadway League that are producers of the live stage pieces were 2 years ago. I was like, that's really kind of, that's Hollywood. That's not really what we do. And now those conversations are not, we don't think we're going to do it, to when should we do it. And I think that it's, partly the technology is there, and the, once people see what it looks like, how well you can actually capture a show. We didn't invent the stage to screen piece, because PBS has been doing it for probably 40 years, and the BBC in London has been capturing the West End Theater for years and years. But what we did was we aggregated all of this similar content into one place. So if you're looking for stage to screen, you go to BroadwayHD.com, because that's where it all is. And if we don't have it, we're probably going to be getting it. We're in talks to license it going further into the future. So if that's the kind of content that you want, this is where you go.
It's also a matter of how you like your content. I mean, one of the exciting things and the fun things about what we've been doing is creating a new art form, because we're not a movie and we're not a TV show. We're capturing the experience of going to an audience, being part of an audience, of seeing a show. You actually see it's authentic. The actors are on stage and they're sweating and they're spitting their lines out. And, at the end of a dance number, you see them breathing hard with the sweat pouring down. And I think you get a sense of really the work that goes into this. It's not sanitized like many movies are. And, in theater, you suspend your disbelief, and that's part of the fun. The audience works harder. You don't see the mountains in The Sound of Music, but we know there's a mountain there because the character said so. So it's kind of a new experience and a new art form. It's almost like television in the early days. Very exciting.
I was going to say, back in the days of Playhouse 90 and some of the purest of all possible but effective dramas were based in the early days of television, without the frills of CGI and blue screens and all of the Pixar type stuff. No offense to Pixar, I love them too, but
to your point and Stu's point, that it's a putting stage plays in front of you on your device. Mm-hmm. So whether you're somebody that watches on your phone or your tablet, or we have all the apps that you can, do it on all of those, or you can do it on your big screen TV. Mm-hmm. It's bringing people into a theater without them going into that theater. And I think that is it looks very different on stage. It looks very different on screen. And I think that, to Stu's point, that you work harder, you're more invested in it. We're so used to, as you said, with all the special effects that are out there, when you go to the movies, everything is literal. So if we're in space, you see space and you see meteors flying by and, it's a real spaceship. But when we do it in the theater, you're more invested, because we ask you to take that leap of, suspension of disbelief and say, okay, we're on the moon and now we're on the beach. And people just go along with that. And I think it makes them more invested in that, whether it's inside the theater or whether it's a digital capture of a live stage production. But it just makes it a very special type of content, and we're putting it all in one place. So if you miss something, if you're not going to get to New York, if you've never been to a Broadway show, here's your way into that. And we're bringing down these barriers, whether it's geography or economics, that you can't afford that Broadway ticket, or you're not sure if you can afford that Broadway ticket, or you don't want to take the risk of buying that particular show, or if it's a any sort of physical sort of impairment or disability, because we've got all of our titles now, due to the requests that we received, are now all closed captioned. So, you know, when you are in, we have, for all of the Broadway theaters, have wheelchair access. So there is access there. But they're not necessarily the theater seat that you would like to be in. Quite often they're in the back. So, and even if you get one seat and you have a fabulous seat, the digital capture enables you to get not just the best seat, but you probably have the best 10 seats, you know, the view from the best 10 seats in the house. So it's a different experience, and I think that it encourages people to go see that live experience more than if they've never been exposed. We get a little bit of pushback from people in the industry saying that, you know, oh, you know, if people want, you know, if they want to go to the theater, they'll just go to the theater. And I say, but not everybody lives near New York that they can go. And even when we do tours, what's considered a big tour is a 40-city tour. Well, we have 50 states, so you're missing somebody. And even if you go through Texas, you're only probably in one town. And, you know, if you're not there for that 1 week that the show goes through, you missed it. You missed that opportunity. So here's the chance to have that experience without going to that particular show. And I do think that it really does encourage people. And you know, you know, Stu and I are both members of the Broadway League, which is the trade association for, you know, producers, presenters, you know, and managers around the country. And we're constantly looking at the data of who goes to the Broadway theater. And that demographic hasn't really changed since the Broadway League has been keeping those statistics and that data. It's basically a 40-plus-year-old woman who's buying the seats. And she's usually better educated and has a higher disposable, you know, income than the rest of the country. But if you look at the demographics of who streams entertainment, it is just across the board, everyone. So by putting this stuff online, we are democratizing Broadway and making it available to everybody that streams. And everybody does stream. And it's a much younger, you know, audience. Not younger, but it ends up averaging out younger because so many of the younger people stream. They might not be watching it on TV. They're watching it on their phone, you know, on their mobile, I guess is what they call it, you know.
Right.
But they're out there watching and they're discovering it and saying, okay, you know what, you know, with my other entertainment streaming platforms, let me add this one. Let me experiment with this. And they're coming in and they're finding that, you know what, this is kind of nice. There's something here for me. So it's real. That's like the feel-good thing that comes out of it, too, that you're, you know, have people that weren't able to get there before and suddenly like, oh, wow, look at this. And then with that, bringing younger people, then the content that we're looking at is sometimes skews younger. So we're actually bringing in some more family-oriented entertainment rather than what was for years and years on Broadway considered high art and culture, which we still have. So it's heightened language pieces like Shakespeare or classic literature, but we're also doing these really fun musicals that, you know, that are going to appeal to not only the people that traditionally go to Broadway, but these younger people that are just going to watch it on their tablet.
You know,
it's
New
funny,
York
Bonnie,
is still the greatest.
No, I was just going to say that it's funny that, you know, as Bonnie gave the demographics there, I just realized for the past 30 years I've been a 40-year-old woman.
But that's who the main demographic is.
Right,
you know,
but
and that hasn't
question.
Really changed. There are exceptions to that across the board,
right.
But that's
well,
like
thank
the,
you. Now,
the main
now I
number
feel better.
That comes back at
yes.
us.
I mean, our website appeals to across the board, but it's really enticing and attracting the 18 to 45-year-olds, the up-and-coming theater goers.
Right.
And that's what makes it exciting because they're coming in groups. They come with groups and with friends and their parents.
Right.
So we're reaching a younger group and even below 18 who get hold of their parents' credit cards to actually sign up for us. But, you know, we're dealing with New York, which has the greatest pool of talent in the world, and that allows us to capture Broadway, off-Broadway. And we've actually expanded into the West End of London to share some of their talent as well. So we have shows like Wind in the Willows that's now playing on our website. And we shot Toxic Avenger, which will be coming out soon.
You know, Stuart and Bonnie, one of the things that I've noticed certainly over the past 35, 40 years on college campuses, because I've done a lot of traveling to college campuses, on projects. And the theater department in pretty much every university that I've been to, in either the Big Ten or the Southeastern Conference around the country, they love theater. They're always producing something. And you can go and watch it on on the campuses. I can't imagine that Broadway HD is not something that will be a phenomenal success with millennials and just above millennials and beyond, in large part because they love theater. They just don't have the access to it.
Yes, I agree. And to the demographic of who actually goes to Broadway, you know, as a member of the Audience Engagement Committee on the Broadway League, constantly looking for what we laugh because we're saying we're looking for new audiences. And we all sort of look at each other and goes, what's wrong with the old audience? But it's that, you know, it's been 45 and up for a long time, because the reality is most of those people that are younger than that either don't have the money, or they're working so hard to get that money, or they have young families, and it's hard to get to a show at 8 o'clock at night. You know, so that we're able to work around, one, the time zone, you know, watch it at, you know, when that baby's awake and, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, sit there and watch a show, you know, or the, you know, the economic piece of it is, you know, it is a lower price point for you to jump in here. And so I think that people are aware of the Broadway brand and they would love to go, but they just, for whatever, you know, a couple of different reasons or many reasons, just don't get there at this point. And so what we're seeing with Broadway HD is that we are able to capture these younger people because they live online, these people. You know, so they're watching stuff constantly, constantly online. And if we're there in front of them, then they're consuming it. So I think we're changing the way theater is consumed. We're making it available to everyone at any time of day with an on-demand, and we're making it, you know, at a price point that they can experiment with it, which makes it, you know, accessible to everybody.
You know, Jim, it's not just the students that we've been able to appeal to. I've directed shows at different universities throughout the country, and more often than not, I meet acting teachers and theater professors who couldn't afford to come to New York. They couldn't afford the ticket, and once here, they couldn't afford to see a Broadway show. So here they are teaching American theater, and they've never seen the best we have to offer. And I found that an incentive for us to really start up the Broadway HD concept, because this the best talent is in New York. And when it goes on tour, you know, it does get watered down. You need a set, not a permanent set, for instance, but you need a Broadway set that you can take down and put up within hours rather than a permanent sit-down. You know, costumes are a little less. The size of the cast is a little smaller. So to capture the Broadway experience has been the greatest challenge, and we've been very, very lucky to have talented people working with us.
We'll be back with more of Stream On after this from Hulu.
Cue the lights. You thought you knew Hulu? Think again. This is Hulu, and it's going to change your life. Now all your stuff magically comes to you. Tons of shows, new seasons, past seasons, Hulu Originals, movies, and you can add live TV with sports and news. Finally, all your TV together in one place. It's not a dream. It's TV come true. Cue the logo.
Now more with Bonnie and Stu about Broadway HD. Well, and Stuart, you know that it's very seldom that the lead actor or actress of a show ends up on the, you know, on the tour.
Yeah, they don't go out anymore. Not like the old days.
You know, Stu and Bonnie are being really cool. They are giving us a chance to get 10% off a year's subscription to Broadway HD. That's right, 10% off a year's subscription to Broadway HD. And all you have to do is go to their website, BroadwayHD.com. That's BroadwayHD.com. And enter the code STREAMON10. That's right, STREAMON, the number 10. And you'll get 10% off. So what a deal. For much, 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 I can assure you, much, much less than a Broadway ticket, you get over 200 Broadway shows, okay? And they're going to give this to us at 10% off. So all you have to do, go out to Broadway HD.com. That's BroadwayHD.com. Enter the promo code STREAMON10. And the nice people that you're listening to, that's right, Stu and Bonnie are giving us a 10% discount, and that's good until March the 10th. So please get out there and do it, okay? All right, guys, thanks so much. Anyway, let's get back to what we're talking about. My point is this. If I talk to, for instance, Showtime last week, mm-hmm. all right, one of the things we were talking about is all of the movies, all of the television shows, everything that they're creating now. There's not only the what is called the linear rights, which would be the traditional television rights. They are negotiating the syndication rights that will now include digital syndication, which means streaming.
Yes. Okay.
So my point to you is basically, do you now see the shows coming on Broadway that are negotiating? As producers, you would, I'm sure, be at the forefront of this, wanting to own your digital rights or want to assign your digital rights to somebody like an Amazon or someone who you feel is going to give you the best coverage of what your product is.
Okay, well, you're talking about that whole idea of cord cutting. So everything is the digital. So everything is over the top. Everything is less about, you know, who you're connected to by cables and who is digitally and through the internet. So yes, and Stu and I have been talking about this for several years with our colleagues at the Broadway League. There are 17 different unions, guilds, and associations involved with making a Broadway show in the mm-hmm. 40 Broadway theaters in the New York City area. We have, at Broadway HD, we have agreements with all 17 of those unions. And what we're trying to make standard operating procedure for Broadway shows is to have in everyone that's involved in making a show, in their contract before it starts, is an option to do a digital capture. That, like, filming it, shooting it, digitizing the audio and the video portion, the entire show. Because it only takes one person to shut mm-hmm. it down. You know, one person can say, no, I don't want to do it at this point, and the whole thing can just collapse like a house of cards. So we are trying to talk to colleagues and make it standard operating procedure in much the same way that a soundtrack, a cast album, a cast recording, whatever you want to call the term, when you, for a musical, record all of the songs. So that is standard procedure now for musicals on Broadway. Not all of them are done. The producers of the show, the stage show, are not obligated to do a recording of the audio, but it mm-hmm. is built into most of those contracts, and everybody understands it, and therefore no one's surprised when they say, we're going to go record the cast album, and everybody's excited because it didn't surprise them. So with the cast album recordings, everyone knows what the fees are going to be, if they're called for 2 days instead of 3 days, if they're going to be, you know, off hours, if they have to do it on their day off. You know, they know exactly what they're going to get paid and what those percentages or royalties or fees are for everyone going forward. And that's what we're trying to have standardized for digital captures, because nobody wants to be surprised. So if you, as a performer, sign up and say, oh, yes, I've just been cast in a new Broadway play or revival of a musical, and off I go, and here's my contract, and I'm in rehearsal, and then I get into, you know, I'm actually on Broadway now, and someone comes to you and says, oh, we're going to bring in 14 cameras and shoot this for Broadway HD, people are surprised. Like, wait a minute. I signed up for a Broadway show. Now you're making a movie. Like, hey, wait a minute. What's going on? So people, there's like a pushback. So if what we're trying to do is standardize it and say, let's everybody be clear about what we're going to do beforehand. Mm-hmm. And if you have any resistance from whether it's a cast member or the playwright or a composer, if they say, no, I don't want to do that, then you know that show is untouchable, if you will, don't waste your time trying to, trying to get everybody else to say yes when you've got somebody who said, no, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, because that time and the resources that are involved in trying to go get, because on a Broadway show, you've probably got 100 contracts, By the time you do all of the people on stage, you do all of the musicians, you do all of those composers, lyricists, sets, costumes, wigs, makeup, you know, you're talking about, you know, dozens of contracts. And you're going through basically one at a time trying to negotiate those. And as I said, if one person shuts it down, the whole thing falls apart. So we're trying to just make it standardized so everybody understands what that is going in. And as I said, if somebody wants to say no, which they have every right to, then they can say it before they enter into that contract and then have somebody try and talk them into it afterwards.
What are some of the fun things that we're going to be seeing in 2018 on Broadway HD?
One of the
projects that we have coming for Valentine's Day is going to be Jason Alexander from New York, starring in The Portuguese Kid, written by John Patrick Shanley. Yeah, yeah, very funny. Was it Renee Scott?
Renee Scott
is co-stars with him. A very funny piece. You know, one of the advantages, and we're discovering this with each show that we do, one of the advantages of Broadway HD is that we can do shows that have limited runs. So if you didn't make it to New York and get to see Jason Alexander live, you can now watch it on Broadway HD for Valentine's Day. It'll be running starting then.
You know, one of the other things that you're talking about, too, that I would think would be interesting is there's a lot of off-Broadway shows that are very entertaining that I would think would want to get this opportunity to get on at Broadway HD because it's an ability to monetize something to, at least if nothing else, get back your costs of putting the play on.
Yes, exactly. Yes, you're right. And in addition to the off-Broadway, there's also very significant producing regional theaters around the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these, as you go around the country, these are the cultural hubs for mm-hmm. certain areas. You know, so that you're looking at, you know, from the West Coast across to the East Coast, there are really big, you know, 2,000-seat theaters that are producing shows for their, you know, like a 100-mile radius. And people, that's where they go for their theater. They don't come to New York. They don't go anywhere else. And those theaters, as well as the off-Broadway theaters, as you mentioned, are now looking at the branding opportunities that a Broadway HD digital capture provides. Just like the Metropolitan Opera, just like the National Theater, they're seeing the value of branding their particular theater or theater company by showing the quality of work that they put on stage and having that as a digital capture. A perfect example is our Theater for New Audiences that we have Julie Taymor's Midsummer Night's Dream. It was and it is a magnificent production. It is, you know, it's worthy of like a Broadway production, but it was a regional theater that put this on, and they wanted it shot. They wanted people to know if you're in Brooklyn, you should come to this theater company and see what they're doing because they're doing magnificent work. The Geffen Playhouse contacted us and said the same thing. You know, they are a destination right there in LA that provides, you know, really good quality productions in California. You know, so these theater companies are looking at it and seeing the value of that, not only of that particular show, but of promoting their brand, which we're doing. So if you look, we have Tom Payne that came from the Geffen Playhouse. We have Long Day's Journey and Tonight, which was at the Geffen Playhouse. And these are beautiful, beautiful productions that were done. And they were limited runs, so if you missed it, you missed it. You know, but now you can see it on Broadway HD. So those, you know, the really high-level quality productions and things that are a little bit more edgy that wouldn't necessarily be able to sustain a Broadway run are becoming available to us. And I think that, you know, even with the Broadway shows, one of the fears with shooting every Broadway show is that, you know, well, you know, we're afraid that if people see it on, you know, online, that they're not going to come and see it in person. And at the beginning of a run, everybody thinks that they have Hamilton. They just, you know, because you wouldn't spend years developing something and put, you know, $20 million behind it if you thought, okay, it's going to open and close in 3 weeks. But the reality is there's 40 Broadway theaters, and the turnover is about 30 new shows a year. So they don't all open and close on the same day, but they're within that season, you're going to see a big turnover of shows because it's going to cost you, you know, $15 million to get to opening night and maybe to sustain your show for a little while. And if you don't have the major reviews and a big audience, you know, and a big, you know, upfront box office number, then it's really hard to keep that show open because you're looking at costs to keep a Broadway show open of about $500,000 a week. So that's the rent, that's the, you know, all those actors, all those creatives, all of the advertising, all of that is, you know, so if you don't, you know, click with like major, you know, good reviews and a box office advance, it's hard to go chasing after what, you know, we say to find your audience. And I think that will be one of Broadway HD's biggest legacies is expanding the life of these shows. Because Stu and I truly believe by the time you get to that Broadway stage, it's not like a terrible show. There might be elements of it that could have been better, but it is a Broadway show, and there's something to be said for that. So, as I said, maybe somebody was miscast, or the lighting could have been stronger, or maybe the songs weren't all hummable, but it's something extraordinary and something that's worth extending and sharing with other people. So we see shows that open and then they're closing, you know, and they should run longer. And sometimes it's just because the New York audience is so specific and is so sophisticated, and they're looking for a certain thing. And yet, you know, we see that with shows that sometimes tour and they never come into New York. They can just, you know, knock it out of the park and sell out like across the country, but they don't want to go anywhere near New York because they're saying, no, you know what? New York is just going to kill us. So for those shows that really appeal to everyone else, those shows would also appeal to the people that really like Broadway too, but they might not want to spend $150 for that ticket. But on Broadway HD, there it is. It lives again. The other thing that we're doing is that we're, with these captures of the shows, we're promoting that piece of theater. So the licensing opportunities, when there are audio and video digital assets to go along with it, elevate it in someone's licensing catalog. So they can say, you know, instead of just, here, buy the script and see if you want to license it for your regional theater, they can say, here, watch it, listen to it, and see if it's right for your theater.
In other words, you mentioned Off-Broadway has these limited runs, so we're able to capture not only classic American shows like Incident at Vichy starring Richard Thomas, but we're able to capture performances that can only be done by specific actors. We have a production of Old Hats, a very funny play, with David Shiner and Bill Irwin, and as only they can do it, you know? And or Ernest Shackleton, we have a beautiful production of a new musical called Ernest Shackleton Loves Me, two performers, multi-talented, as only they can do it. And to have captured that makes it unique, special, and you know, irreplaceable.
Well, I have a friend who has been over the past 5 or 6 years or longer. Basically, that what they've been doing is they have sports-related shows, which they do off-Broadway. They only do it for a couple of weeks, and they basically say, okay, here it is. They let everybody know what's going on. And basically, they were the folks who brought Lombardi to Broadway.
That was another one that would have been great.
Yeah, that was a nice play.
It would have, because that show, it wasn't your traditional Broadway-going audience that was going to watch it and sustain
a
long
run.
Perfect
they were going
example.
To ever make it
perfect
to Broadway.
Example. Yep, perfect example of something that would be just amazing if it was captured.
Yeah, it had a nice run on Broadway, but it's gone.
Well, yeah, but the point was they didn't even think it was ever going to get there. I mean, that was a 3 to 6 week run that suddenly, you know, the word got out.
Good. Well acted, nice story. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, Dan Luria played.
Yes,
that's right.
Yep. Was it Judith Light, I think, was his wife?
It might have been. I know that Dan was the key person that they needed to get, because obviously if you need somebody that's like Lombardi. But but anyway, it was one of those lightning struck in a bottle, but your point is well taken, Stu, and that is that really would have been a perfect play for Broadway HD, because it was going to be a limited run no matter how it worked out.
So if you missed Kevin Klein doing Present Laughter, we've got it.
I just saw it, and you should.
Oh, oh, good. Isn't he great? He's great. I love him. He's terrific.
There's very little that he does that I don't like.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys you're going to really enjoy. What do you see happening with Broadway HD down the line, say 3-4 years? I mean, are we going to start seeing some pay-per-view of some of the major shows?
You know, we were just talking about this the other day with getting closer to the beginning runs of shows. Mm-hmm. Instead of what we're doing now, a lot of it is we're capturing things as they're closing. We're capturing mm-hmm. limited runs, which helps with the fear of that cannibalizing the ticket sales of the live piece.
Sure.
Is to limit it digitally in some way, so to geo-block it, or to your point, just do like a pay-per-view. So maybe you do a pay-per-view of somewhere near the opening of the show and then hold it for a while, or geo-block it outside of the tri-state area, or if it's something that is going to tour, like outside of the U.S. But I think, you know, looking forward with the, the change in people's attitude and understanding of digital captures, I think that it will become standard operating procedure within shows, and that it could quite possibly be put into the capitalization of the show as producers are thinking about mounting the live stage version.
Yeah, I think that Broadway HD is going to become a necessary marketing tool for Broadway shows, because it gets the word of the show out on a massive scale, even on a global scale. So it's like the best commercial you could ever have. And we have the flexibility to geopolitically, geo-block it, so we can block out certain countries or even touring cities if you wanted us to.
Sure. And at the same time, if you use the same concept that so many promoters did in the rock industry back in the day, I can remember doing shows with Showtime when we would you'd get promoters that get very antsy about it. And all of a sudden.
Yeah. And now everybody's got their cell phone out recording everybody. You know, it's like for, minute by minute, they're, recording the entire concert.
20 minutes after the show's over, it's on YouTube. Yeah.
Yes. Because the live experience is one experience and the digital is another.
And we do it, a real professional job with it. With a musical, we'll use up to 14 cameras. From different parts of the theater, including the orchestra pit, to give you the real theater experience.
Right. And it's it's an amazing thing. So tell you what, folks, why don't you tell us how we can get in touch with you? How can we follow you on social media? And
There's a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram for Broadway HD.
Okay.
Go to BroadwayHD.com. Sign up for the newsletter there, because every month we send out a newsletter to tell what is coming up. So to your question earlier about what's coming up, I didn't have it in front of me. I'm like, oh, okay, what is coming up? I have to refer to my own newsletter to see what are the things that are coming up. And we announce every month we're adding new content to the site. Mm-hmm. So it's constantly being updated, refreshed, new things are being added.
Sign up with Stream On 10, get a 10% discount.
Right, there you go. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, thank you. Nah, it's my pleasure, because I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan. I've always been a big fan of Broadway shows, as well as any type of theater. And anything we can do to help that is a labor of love, and I, you know, wish you all nothing but the best. So, Stuart,
thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
We'll be back with more Stream On after this from Hulu.
Cue the lights. You thought you knew Hulu? Think again. This is Hulu, and it's going to change your life. Now all your stuff magically comes to you. Tons of shows, new seasons, past seasons, Hulu originals, movies, and you can add live TV with sports and news. Finally, all your TV together in one place. It's not a dream. It's TV come true. Cue the logo.
Well, that brings to a close yet another edition of Stream On. Now, if you do not yet subscribe to us, well, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, it's easy enough to do. All you have to do, and we are free, is go to the iTunes Store. We're part of the Apple Podcast family, Google Play, also Blog Talk Radio. If you're one of the 80 million people who have downloaded the Stitcher app, where there's plenty of outstanding podcasts, we're one of them. All you have to do is search us, hit favorite, and we'll be part of your Stitcher family. And if you're one of the 175 million people, myself included, who have downloaded the TuneIn app, then all you have to do is search Stream On with Jim Williams, hit the favorite button, and then every week we will be delivered to either your phone or your tablet or both. So, five places to find us. Please go out and subscribe to Stream On with Jim Williams today, okay? Thanks very much. Well, that brings to a close yet another edition of Stream On. If you've not yet subscribed to us, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, it's very simple to do. We're free, and you can get us at the iTunes Store. That's right. We're part of the Apple Podcast family. We're also available at Google Play, Blog Talk Radio. And if you've downloaded the Stitcher app, well, then all you have to do is search Stream On with Jim Williams, and we'll be part of your Stitcher family, too. And finally, but not least, if you're one of the 175 million people, myself included, who've downloaded the TuneIn app, all you have to do is search Stream On with Jim Williams, hit the favorite button, and every week you'll get a new edition of Stream On sent to your phone or your tablet or both, okay? So five places to get Stream On, very simple to do. Please subscribe to us today, all right? Okay, well, special thanks to our guests today, and that, of course, would be none other than the founders of Broadway HD, Stuart Lane and Bonnie Comley. And Stu and Bonnie were kind enough to offer our subscribers an opportunity to get a year's subscription of Broadway HD with a 10% off. Okay, that's 10% off a one-year subscription to Broadway HD. All you have to do is use the promo code STREAMON10. That's STREAMON and the number 10, okay? And you get 10% off Broadway HD's one-year subscription. And that is a deal, my friends. So, okay, go out and do that today. Again, hope that you enjoyed our conversation with Bonnie and Stu. And next week, we're going to be talking to the folks at MHZ Networks about their fine international programming. And you're not going to want to miss that. So until next time, I'm Jim Williams from Stream On saying have a wonderful and safe weekend.